It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC. Journalist Michael Ware has reported from some of the most dangerous places on the planet. He spent nearly 10 years in war zones in Iraq and Afghanistan and was a familiar face on CNN. In his National Geographic documentary series, Uncensored with Michael Ware, the former war correspondent has headed to locations including Iran, the South Pacific, Russia, and even Los Angeles. Outside of the battle zones, he is finding that wars for human rights are bubbling up throughout the world. And he joins us now to talk about a couple of the stories on which he's recently reported. And we welcome Michael Ware to the program. Michael, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So in the first episode of this new series, you travel to Papua New Guinea, and this is a place where women's rights have some catching up to do.
You can definitely say that. In fact, the reason why I went to Papua New Guinea is because I wanted to explore the fact that in this modern age, the belief in witchcraft is so strong throughout the whole country, they are still burning women alive at the stake. And there's barely a prosecution because from the top upper echelons of the political system down to the village policeman, everyone believes in witchcraft.
I mean, this is especially interesting because this is a place, Papua New Guinea, which has one of the fastest growing economies in Asia. So they're connecting with the outside world. But the practice, of course, this is medieval.
Well, let's not forget that the economy is by and large based on third country extraction of their rich resources. Now, the money that ends up with PNG so often disappears in large quantities into a morass of corruption. So life in PNG is still very, very tough. And once you get up into the darkest part of the highlands, it's a snapshot of our human prehistory. There's still people walking out of the bush, literally.
What sort of factors are qualifying a woman in the eyes of these people to be accused of witchcraft?
Well, essentially, when someone dies of cancer, someone dies of AIDS, they have a brain aneurysm, and there's no visible reason for the death, they don't say, what happened? Up there, they say, who happened? And the search begins for, normally, the woman has killed that person. Then, depending on what part of the country you're in, they'll go and grab her, torture her, and then they'll kill her.
And this is all legal there in Papua New Guinea?
Well, put it this way, until not so long ago, a couple of years ago, there was a sorcery act where the government, in the statutes, it was deemed illegal to practice sorcery, by implication acknowledging that sorcery exists. That statute was only removed after video from a handheld camera of a woman being burned alive on a rubbish heap went viral.
Is it by and large or only women that get accused of sorcery there?
Mostly women. I mean, 90-something percent. There are men, but generally it's women. And it could be something as simple as I saw her walking by the graveyard last night. Or it could be, she said a bad word about him about 6 months ago. I bet she did it. The belief is just so deep, and it runs through the entire country. And in a modern age, it's actually spreading. The practice used to be isolated areas. It's now spreading into the cities. It's getting worse.
So why do you think this is? You talk to people there that hold to this rationale and they believe these women deserve to die. What did they tell you that maybe made any kind of rationale to this practice spreading?
Well, put it this way. They basically see it as a public health service. It's removing something that creates illness or that creates damage or that harms people. So, like I said, even police officers have stood by and let these things happen. So there's just no way to tackle the belief. Now, even though Christian missionaries after World War II converted 90-something percent of the country, somehow the ancient beliefs rest alongside Christian beliefs. In fact, I met up in the highlands a pastor, a Lutheran pastor. His own wife had been falsely accused as a witch, and she was murdered. Yet there he was accusing another woman in the village of the same thing.
We're talking with Michael Ware. His new series, Uncensored with Michael Ware, airs on National Geographic and documents his travel to Papua New Guinea, where women have been burned at the stake as witches here in the 21st century. So, Michael, you talked to an accused witch. What did she say?
Well, actually, I set out to try to speak to everyone involved. I wanted to speak to some men or some people who committed some of these acts, the torture, the killing. I wanted to find a woman who hopefully had survived so I could talk to her about her ordeal. And, of course, I wanted to find the accused. Now, the thing is, once you're accused, it's very hard to get rid of that. The cloud hangs over you. It's virtually a death sentence.
There are women, though, that even confessed to witchcraft.
Well, when they've been heating hot irons and they're putting them all over you, you'll pretty much confess to anything. Or what you'll do is you'll point your finger at someone else in the village. Oh, it's not me. It was her. I know it was her. And so you can get situations where there's four or six women being tortured at once. In fact, there was a video that came out that showed four women being tortured for hours. Hot pieces of metal put all over their body, hit with bush knives, dragged on the ground across a river. In the end, one of those women sadly died, but there were three survivors, and I managed to find her. Now, she was one of the most extraordinary people I've ever met. She had to meet me in secret because she's basically in hiding in the Highlands. But the way she told me the story of horror, and that just went on for hour after hour after hour, she was possessed of such a quiet dignity and such a grace that it almost brought me to tears.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Michael Ware, a longtime war correspondent and journalist whose new National Geographic series is called Uncensored with Michael Ware. He is well known for his war reporting in both Afghanistan and in Iraq for Time Magazine, CNN, and others. So, Michael, you really have gone to a bunch of different places and seen a lot of different things for this series, but there's kind of an element of the extreme to a lot of it. I wonder what sparks you to try to pursue a story.
Well, put it this way, you know, I spent over a decade being shot at, literally, in Iraq or Afghanistan. I no longer want to be shot at. I was blown up six times. I don't want to be blown up again. But I still want to explore the marginalia of our world. I still want to see where the beyond begins. And so, for example, they sent me to New York Fashion Week, an extraordinary place, an extraordinary event, and only the privileged and the elite can get behind the rope and behind the scenes. And we were able to do that. I went and joined what's often called Vladimir Putin's bikie gang.
Tell us about this. This is a really interesting slice of nationalism that, you know, we see ripple a lot of places now.
You're absolutely right, and particularly in Russia. There's a new Russia that has emerged, and it's continuing to grow, and it's continuing to gain more and more confidence. And I wanted to see this new Russia through this biker gang called the Night Wolves. The Night Wolves are a motorcycle gang or club of the like we in the West cannot imagine. They're nothing like the Hells Angels or Bandidos or Comancheros. They're a nationalist organization. They're there to promote renewed love for the motherland, and they're deeply, deeply religious. So they put on these extraordinary shows, which are incredibly popular, where they're reenacting great World War II battles, or they're demonizing the West with, you know, fireworks and choreographed dancing and leaping motorbikes. And the founder of the Night Wolves, it's about 5,000 members strong, with clubs all over Russia and all over the former Slavic or the Slavic states. This founder was able to organize a ride through the middle of Moscow with thousands of motorbikes, and the police had to close down the center of the city. Such is his influence. Now, in 2009, Vladimir Putin reached out to this man, embraced him, rode with him, and now provides funding for the organization. These guys are a window into the new Russia. These guys are a barometer for Russian intentions.
And Putin seems to really embrace these kinds of relationships that represent this imagery of strength. You know, he has these celebrity friends like the leader of the Night Wolves and MMA fighters and former U.S. boxing champions and Steven Seagal. It's really odd.
Well, as you know, he's always portrayed himself as someone who's very healthy and who's very active. But I can tell you, he has successfully begun restoring Russian pride. After the collapse of the Soviet Union in 91, I would say that Russia went through an identity crisis. That's when the oligarchs merged, law and order started to fray. No one quite knew what to do and how to do it. Then Putin came into power and said, "We are Russia. This is the motherland." And surprisingly, certainly to me, it turns out that Vladimir Putin, former top KGB officer, former top communist, is deeply, deeply religious himself. And it's the way religion fits into the DNA of Russia is incredible. And I had no idea until I went and saw Russia with the Night Wolves.
This nationalist streak almost goes beyond, in a way, when it comes to the Night Wolves, the rule of law. They have offered to be sort of unsanctioned private police to protect religious institutions in Russia. It's really, it has kind of a strange extra legal element to it.
That's an interesting way to put it. First and foremost, you could argue they're a propaganda organ. They're doing it themselves. No one's making them do it. They're doing it before Vladimir Putin came along. Propaganda to get the message out there about love the motherland again. This is a great country. We can be even greater. We need to retake our place in history. But also, is that deeply religious message as well? So these guys are the real deal.
Well, and the thing about it, though, is that that's great as long as you share their views. And the form of religion that they seem to support is more of a Russian Orthodox and is not too kind on the rights of LGBT people.
But put it this way, when I was riding with them in cities in the south or even in Moscow, as they would go past, whether it's just a couple of them or whether it was a dozen of them, cars would beep their horns in hello. People would wave from the footpath. Vehicles would stop to allow them to safely turn a corner. The founder of this organization, who goes by the name The Surgeon, is a national figure. I was at an event where he was mobbed by local journalists and gave a press conference.
That's pretty amazing stuff.
If this man wants the attention of the nation, all he has to do is pick up the phone because they want to hear from him.
Well, it's certainly another example of a part of the world that we don't always see. And I want to thank you for your reporting on it and let the listeners know that Uncensored with Michael Ware is on the National Geographic Channel. Michael, thanks so much for being with us today.
Mike, thank you so much for having me.
It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC.